So let's just quickly review what we did yesterday, because this is like a flow of a Gemara, so we really got to know where we're holding in discussion in order to jump in for today. So basically, we had this question about, do you make the bracha in the middle of your meal? If you forgot to make it for starters, you make it in the middle. So the problem, why not? Why would you say not? So he said, because you may say that by making in the middle, you're placing a priority of your eating over the bracha. So that's not a shavach, that's like a disgrace. What are you doing? Your eating is more important than God, right? So therefore, I'd say you can't make the bracha. So the response back to that is yeah, but what's your other option? Your other option is to not make a bracha altogether. That's even worse, right? Not making a bracha is a negative, right? It's a bad thing. It's a violation. To have an achila without a bracha is a violation. So therefore, better to at least you'll have your achila with a late bracha than to have it with no bracha, right? What was your problem? You missed the bracha. So what are you gonna do? Keep eating without bracha? That's even worse, right? So even though if you were to view not making a bracha simply as an absence, as not doing something, right, that I didn't do it. So then you'll say, okay, fine, so I didn't do anything. I was absent something. Now by implying a wrong order, that's a positive, like a violation. So then I'd say is just, that was his question. That was, I guess, what he would have thought. He would have thought is, look, I didn't make a bracha, so I neglected to do the bracha. But now if I say it in the wrong order, I create a bad thing. Right? But the answer is no, not making a bracha, an achila without a bracha itself is a bad thing, is a negative, is a violation. So therefore, you have an achila without a bracha, that's worse than having an achila where the bracha is after the achila. An achila without a bracha is basically saying I have achila with the God is totally irrelevant in the achila. At least that's worse than saying his God is after the achila, at least you recognize him after. To say it, to not have it all together, it's even worse, right? So therefore, he says it's clear that you make the bracha in the middle of the middle of the meal, right? But we said is that we explained to Rashi is that if we were talking about not a meal, just a regular eating, so then like take a little sip of water and then another sip of water, then one sip of water is unrelated to the next sip of water. So the fact that the first one didn't have a bracha. But now the second one should have a bracha. It's not going after the first sip of water. The first sip of water is history. It's all over. And now I'm about to drink another sip of water, so I might as well make a bracha. But by Yasu'uda, the first bite and the second bite are all one unit. That's still on the table. That was the kviyas. So therefore, basically, if I make the bracha after my hamotzi, then it's like it's after the hamotzi, after my eating. Because my eating still exists, and then it's coming after. So that's why there's a question, is do you say that you could say it in the middle? Because it's going to imply that it's second rate to the eating. Right? That's why Rashi says, and we're specifically talking about a case where this is. Though. Okay. So again, so the Gemara's conclusion, though, is that it's worse. It's a violation to have an achila without a bracha. And since the violation of an achila without a bracha, so therefore you got to basically correct it. Okay, you got to correct it, and you got to say a bracha in the middle of your meal, even though it's second to the eating, which is a bad. But you don't have a choice. Your other option is even worse: is to not have a tavachila without bracha, totally your own pleasure, as if it's your food. That's even worse. So then the Gemara says, and this is what we're up to today. The Gemara says, therefore, even if you completed your meal, even if you're done, you should still say hamotzi. Okay? Therefore, means it stands to reason from this that you can make in the middle of your meal that you should make it at the end of your meal as well. And that's part one. And the question is going to be, why is it therefore? What is that? And how does that flow from what it just said? But the Gemara is not done. It says, therefore, you should make it at the end of your meal as well. And because you see that by a ger, a convert going in the mikvah doing tevilah, so he could make a bracha after he goes in the mikvah, right? After he comes off the mikvah. He can't make it before, he makes it after. So you see, apparently, even though you already did the tefillah, you can still say a bracha. It's still a bracha. So too, here, even though you're done with your meal, you can still say a bracha. You can still say a bracha. So you should still be able to say a bracha. right? And that's the Gemara's question. So what's funny here is like the Gemara is trying to argue, to put forth, that you should be able to make a bracha after your meal. And that argument is resting on two premises. The first premise is that you're allowed to make it in the middle of your meal. Right, that you're allowed to make it, that you should make it in the middle of your meal. And the second premise is because Ger can make it afterwards. And with the combination of those two, we always knew that Ger can make it afterwards. But I guess we would have thought bracha was different. The motzi is different. But now that we already know Ger can make it after, and now you're telling me that you could make the motzi in the middle, now if you put those together somehow, what pops out is you should be able to say it at the end of the meal. That's what we have to explain, though. I'm just kind of giving the outline or a sketch of what's going on mechanically. But what's the svara? How do you combine these two things together? One second. So which the Gemara, but to the Gemara responds, no, you can't compare them. At the end of the day, Gemara says you can't compare them because the Ger couldn't have made it in the beginning. Therefore, he could say it at the end. But you could have made it in the beginning, so therefore you can't say it at the end. Because that's our second step, is to understand that final, right? But before we get to that, we have to understand what's the Gemara's question. How does it follow? That's the combination of this ger and the fact that you make the middle of the bracha in the middle of your meal, such that now it's a you should maybe make it at the end of the meal. Yeah, I mean, on the surface, I think actually yachso, the introduction of yachso yavarech means, see, because when you have an achila without a bracha, so it's like your achila is supposed to have a bracha, but then you miss your opportunity. So you could say, look, that's it, you miss your opportunity, it's too late, that's it, you have an achila below bracha, it's a bad achila. But yachso yavarech means you could go back and correct it and still attach a bracha to your achila. You know what I mean? So you're going back and correcting that which you messed up. You know what I mean? You're going back and making it now an achila with a bracha. I mean, afterwards, certainly, you know, that's what you do. But even in the middle, you're somehow going back. Maybe it's actually good. Is that... Yeah, perhaps. I mean, this kind of gets to what we were discussing yesterday. But let's say in the middle of your meal. Is your bracha going on the future eatings? Or is it on the past eating? Right? So, based on what we said yesterday, what are we saying? It's on the future or the past?
Future.
Because we say before the weekend, when you have a regular food, we said.
Right, that's true, but that's a regular food, but by a suda, by the meal. Where you're in the middle of the meal.
That's the meal.
Well, it's on the meal, right? But the thing was, we said in theory it was going to be on the after, but we said then the order is going to be wrong, right? The order you're messing up, but it says, yeah, but you're going to continue eating. Right, you're going to continue eating, and then that's going to be a bad thing. You know, then what are you going to do? You're going to make more eatings that are messed up. Right? So you could say that's just why you couldn't just leave it alone. You couldn't just stop there because you're going to eat more. But you could argue that you're correcting. I mean, from Yachso, you could say Yachso Yavarech means you're correcting the Achila that's going on the first one. And you're correcting the fact that that was an Achila without Bracha, and you're correcting it and making an Achila with a Bracha. You could say that. Because after your meal, that's definitely what you're doing. You're not going to eat it anymore, right? I mean, at least at that stage. It's definitely going back. And it's using the same lashon. But let's hold off on that discussion. But I have a feeling Yachso son may point to that. Not a question of you're making a bracha on the future ones. Or at the very least, it's like this. Is that if it's in the middle of your meal and you make the bracha again, even if it's on the later ones, it's also on the earlier ones because it's on the suda. And the suda is one, they're related. It's one continual achila. Right, that's the question. If, for instance, it's a brand new achila, it's a drink of water, then of course it's not yachso, it's not on the end, it's just on the future. But now it ends up going on the past and on the future.
So what's the problem in the middle?
What's the problem?
Say end, I mean, then you could just, in the middle, then I mean the same thing, if it was happening.
Oh, what's the question in the first place of whether you do in the middle?
Saying if you're going to say it's going to go forward, it ties everything in front and
right.
Everything behind,
right.
Then in the middle it would make no difference than in the end.
No, well, that's kind of what the Gemara asks, right? It says, therefore, so you should be able to make it at the end. Right, that's the Gemara's question.
Okay.
Right? But I mean, we'll get there, but it kind of sounds like that's what the Gemara is saying, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that will help. If we learn that it's going on the future ones, then we really don't understand the Gemara. What's the Gemara saying? Therefore, you should even say get the end. What do you mean the end? The end is there's nothing in the future. But if you learn that it was saying is that you're making it on the end, you know, on the previous one, Right? So then, you know, in the beginning, so now then what's the difference if you're in the middle or if you're at the end? You should be able to make it then also. Right? But I know, we did say a little bit that it's based on the future, so we have to clarify this a little bit. I know, right, because we said is that the problem is the achilas coming forward are going to be messed up. So it seemed like the logic, the winning logic yesterday was the reason why you have to make it in the middle is because you're going to go forward and you're going to keep eating without a bracha, so how could, right? So that seems to be that it's because of the forward ones, not because of the back ones. If that's the case, then what's the Gemara's question? Oh, you should be able to make it afterwards. That's... afterwards is different, there's no forward eating, so, right? So we have to kind of understand what's the force of the question because of that point. Yeah, okay, so maybe good. So I think Sammy and Smart are saying good. Let's take it slow. So the Gemara said, the Gemara resolved the reason why you make it in the middle. The reason why you make it in the middle of the meal is because eating without a bracha is a violation. And eating without a bracha is a violation. Right? And the way it said it was, oh, so what are you going to do? You're going to keep eating? Right? Your breath is going to smell, it's going to be even worse. That's a negative, right? So therefore, it's what's true. You don't want to do second place. But what's your other option is to have an eating without bracha. Right? That's even worse. That's my answer, right? That's my answer. You're going to keep eating, aren't you? So that is a terrible thing. You're going to have eatings without bracha. That was his answer. Okay? But now the guy says back, who says back? Ravina. He says, Hilkach, hold on a second. That's a good point. Let's take that to its logical conclusion. Not only is it a negative on your future eatings, right? Your future eatings are going to be without bracha. But your past eating is also a negative, right? In other words, the fact that you ate 5 minutes ago and didn't have bracha is a negative, is a violation. It's an eating without bracha, right? Isn't that a negative? Isn't that a violation? It is, right? Now, if you could rectify that, right? If you could somehow rectify that, then shouldn't you? Now, it's true, the way to rectify will be you'll have God in second place, so to speak, God will be second. But since you're telling me that you'd rather have God second than to have an achila without God altogether, so then, similarly, after your meal, you should say the bracha. So God will be at the total end of the meal, not even at the middle, but at the end, which is, I guess, quantitatively worse. Not only is it after, but still, the other option is to have an eating without God altogether. Right? Now, the only argument you could tell me is that after the meal, it's too late. And after the meal, it's going to be unrelated to the meal anymore. Once the meal is closed, that's it. It's history. Right? In the middle of the meal, you say you're still related to the meal. But after the meal, you could argue, it's very nice, you'd like to correct it and to render the meal as having God in it somehow, even at the end, but maybe it's over. It's history. The bracha will be unrelated to the activity which is going on. Beforehand, they could say it's related to the activity which is coming up. In the middle, it's still going on. But once it's over, it's closed, the bracha can't relate to it, you could argue. But we see that's not true. Because by a ger who goes in the mikvah, you see normally brachas for mitzvahs go before the mitzvah. And it's related to the mitzvah, it's through the fact that you do it right before the bracha, before that activity. But you see by ger, you can do the bracha after the mitzvah. So apparently, the bracha which is going on, even though the activity is complete, a bracha which comes right on the heels of the activity could still be related to the activity. So similarly, after the meal, it could still be related to it. The only thing you could argue, then this is why ger alone isn't enough, is that you could say, yeah, making a bracha after a mitzvah of a ger is fine. Because so there's a, what's your priority? You're putting a mitzvah before God, before anything God. Mitzvah is God and the bracha is God. But by eating, by putting the bracha at the end of the meal, you're putting your eating before God. You're setting up an order of eating and then God. So you'd say you can't do that. Not because it's unrelated, but because that's like a disgrace. But you see, you just told me you could do it in the middle of the meal. And in the middle of the meal, you have that same disgrace. But your argument was better to have God second place than to have God altogether missing. Right? So by the same logic, you should be able to do it at the end of the meal. Better to have God at the end, which it is related because of Gera, better to have God at the end than to have him absent altogether. So you should say, so now that I hear your logic, so you should really be able to do it at the end of the meal as well. Right? It needs those two pieces. It needs the middle. If you didn't have this discussion about the middle, you could never say, oh, Ger could make it afterwards, so therefore I could make a bracha after my meal. Because you say it's a disgrace to have God second place. Second place to your instinctual activity. Second place to a bracha, to a halachic nice mitzvah, that's not a disgrace, because it's a mitzvah. But second place to your instinctual activity, I'll say you can't do that, so you can't do it at the end, you can't compare Ger to a meal. But now you told me that in the middle of your meal is not a problem, because it's true, God's second place, but the other option is to not have him at all. So therefore, the same thing applies here too. Do it at the end of the meal. So you'll say, maybe the worst you could argue, it's a little worse to have God at the end than to have him in the middle. But apparently, well, that's not really. It's just a quantitative thing. It's essentially, once you do it in the middle, you should be able to do it at the end. But apparently, Ravina's argument, we know that you don't do that's not true. Right? And what he's saying is, I guess that's his question. What he's saying is, if I want to follow your logic through, I should be able to think of that. Well, I guess. Well, the question is by Gary. Is like, I mean, I guess maybe we could define it. But you could ask, in what way does a bracha relate to an activity? How do you relate a bracha to an activity? So you could say is that through the bracha introducing the activity, so it qualifies the activity. So through the bracha is like, it's like you're doing this, say this thing, and then you make the bracha. Right, but you could have envisioned that. Right after the thing, it's already over. You could have said that. But now by Ger, you see, it's not true. We don't know why Ger works. I mean, that's at this point, at this stage of the game, the Gemara is saying, I don't know exactly why Ger works. I mean, that's something the Gemara is going to get into. But I don't know why Ger works, because you're right. In general, you don't do it afterwards. So I mean, I think that's what the answer is going to be. But whatever it is, you see, apparently, I guess maybe like this, is that there's two ways you could say that the activity is related to the mitzvah, the bracha related to an activity. Either by the fact that it introduces it, you say the bracha, and then your activity is in the context which was defined by the bracha, which case you can't do it afterwards. Or you could say the bracha could be related to an activity through its smichas, its closeness to the activity. It's not because it sets the stage and the context for the activity. Rather, it's because it qualifies it through its proximity to the activity. Okay, if it's through proximity, the proximity could be on either side. Right? If it's through the fact that it sets the stage and provides a context for your activity, you can't provide a context afterwards. Okay, you can't provide a context afterwards. But you see from Gare that apparently it's through proximity, because if it were through setting a context for the activity, the context is already, it's already over, the activity is over. So you see, apparently it's not true. That the way that the activity works through proximity. Works through proximity.
Or are you going to say...
So let's do it that way, you know what I mean? Okay. So Ravina's argument is, I think this is a good way to do it. Ravina's argument is as follows. That how, just like we said before, how does a bracha, obviously a bracha has to be related to activity which it's on. In what way is the relationship accomplished? One, there's two possible solutions. One is that the bracha, you talk about a certain idea, and then you do the activity, and now the activity is in the context of that idea. So it's related to it because it sets the stage. It would be like a toast. I propose a toast to blah, 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 and everyone's thinking about the people who are getting married, and then you drink the wine, and the wine is with them in mind, right? After everyone already drank the wine because they were thirsty, you can't then say, okay, I propose a toast. But I mean, I don't think. I've never seen that. But in this line of thinking, because the toast, it means that the drinking was of a certain nature, of a certain character. It was under a certain context. So the way you make the drinking in that context is through doing it before, or even in the middle. If everyone's in the middle of going like this, you could say, toast or whatever, someone else could do it, you know? Because that the drinking, it provides a context for the activity which you're performing. But after the thing is done, the context, it's history, right? You can't do it anymore, it's history, it's all over, right? That's one way to look at it, okay? If that were the case, then you would not be able to do brachas after activities, right? Even by a ger, Because unfortunately, the Ger couldn't say it earlier. Tough break. But bottom line is, it's over. You can't provide a context to the activity of the tefillah. The tefillah took place. So it may very well be that he was trying to do it for all the good reasons, but if the nature of the bracha, the way the bracha relates to the activity is through the fact that it sets the stage and the activity it takes place under its context, so then it can't be afterwards. Now you'll say, yeah, but the ger couldn't help it. So look, he couldn't help it. Let's say a guy's a mute and he can't say a bracha. He can't help it. Not everything with bracha, the bracha's anima akvos. The tefillah counts whether you say bracha or not. It's good to do brachos, but if you can't, you can't. So say the ger can't. Right? But the ger could. So what do you see? The fact that the ger could. That the nature of the way that bracha relates to an activity is not through the fact that it provides a context for the activity. Rather, it's through the proximity of the bracha. That the fact that a bracha is close to the activity, then the nearness in time, it relates the bracha to the activity. And nearness could be beforehand or afterwards. Okay, it doesn't matter. It's nearer to the activity, and that's how it relates to the activity. In which case, that's why it works by ger. Now, it could be, you're right, in general, you're not allowed to do that because you're supposed to do it beforehand. It's better, provides a context or whatever. You could say whatever you want. But if in the ger's case, since the relationship is essentially through proximity, the ger could do it afterwards. If you say that, so then by a meal also, apparently, why should you differentiate between the way the bracha of a mitzvah relates to activity and the way the bracha of nahanav relates to the activity? Either way, you should say, you should be able to say it afterwards. It should be related to the activity through its proximity to the meal. Right? So the fact that the ger couldn't help it, Ravina will say, who cares if the ger couldn't help it? That's not relevant. I don't care. So he couldn't help it. So we feel bad for him, but it doesn't mean we're going to let him make a bracha because he couldn't help it. Like that's Ravina's argument. So now the question is, how do we answer that argument? How does Ravina differentiate? How does the Gemara differentiate? This is the job of the Gemara now. To say, no. You can't compare ger and real. By the ger, because he couldn't do it earlier, so therefore it's okay for him to do it. But by a regular person that you could do it earlier, it's not okay. But what's the logic to that? I mean, that's, as you just showed, is that how does a bracha relate to an activity? Does it relate to proximity or does it relate to providing context? What's your choice? How do you differentiate between the two? Okay. Something like this is that, and maybe while I'm saying this far, someone can think of an example. Because I feel like it would help. I can't think of one. Okay. But the idea is that. The third possibility, again, I said, is the way the bracha relates, like the nature of the bracha is that the bracha qualifies the activity. But, I mean, it gives it a certain quality. Like, for instance, it expresses this is an action of mitzvah, not an action of rishos, not just an optional thing. Okay, and then eating says this is an action which is based upon my recognition of God. Involves God as opposed to just an instinctual thing. Okay, the nature of the bracha is it qualifies the activity. Okay, now there's a phenomenon a man does is that he qualifies activities through speech. Right, there's a phenomenon like that. It's like a toast. It's a good example. Is that there are activities that man does. Certain activities are done just to do the activities, but certain times you want to express a certain quality and characterize the activity through words, through speech, which puts the activity, gives it a certain identity. Define the activity, qualify the activity through the speech which you put near it. Okay, I'm talking loosely, but through speech. Now the question is, how do you do such a thing? What's the way to qualify these activities? For quality activities through speech. So I'll say is that ordinarily, the way to do it is that before you do the activity, it's like the context idea. So before you do the activity, you say, this is what we're about to do. I propose a toast. And this drinking that we're about to do is for life and whatever, right? So that's the way you qualify the activity. Afterwards, it's too late. You already did the activity, ordinarily, right? Like a toast. No one will do a toast after the thing's over. But if a person encounters an activity which is not possible to qualify prior to the activity, okay, not possible to do for some reason. So then what? Then do you say that that activity is unqualifiable? Why should it be unqualifiable? There's an idea that I want to qualify that activity in a certain way. So then you can do it afterwards. There's the reason why afterwards doesn't work ordinarily. Maybe this is a good question. Is that why doesn't afterwards work in general? So I'll say it's because, like by toast. Why doesn't the toast work afterwards? Right? Why can't I propose the toast afterwards? Because where were you beforehand? Right? And it's, you should have done it before you did it. Right? In other words, the time to do it was then. Now it's an afterthought. You already drank your thing. You had nothing to do with it. You weren't thinking about it. It's not time to do it. It's already over. But if it were impossible to propose to us beforehand, for whatever reason, so then the nature, when you have an activity which is objectively can't be qualified beforehand, then the way in which it's qualified is to do it afterwards. It's the way man functions, because there's an idea, there's an activity of man of qualifying activities through speech. And when the speech, you do it, there's a preferred time to do it, and therefore if you bypass that time, then it's like you're pushing it out. It's almost dichle. It's a kimenetriyetri. Once you could have done it and you don't do it, so it means that's not what I was doing apparently. When I was drinking this wine, I could have proposed those. I didn't. So apparently I was not doing it for the sake of long life and this chazan gala or whatever. I was doing it because I wanted to take a drink of wine. So now you had your chance. You could have said it and you didn't. So that's it. You didn't. Now look, it may not be whatever. You didn't do it. But if I couldn't do it, so I'll say that was the nature of my drinking. I was drinking it for them. I couldn't say it beforehand. But the second I finish and the second I'm able to, I say, oh yeah, it was for them. So then the nature of that qualifies and it casts light that was the nature of the activity. So I'll say is that the bracha defines a mitzvah. It says this, when I eat this matzah, I'm not just eating a good sandwich, but I'm eating a matzah shel mitzvah. The nature of my activity is an activity of mitzvah. It qualifies activity as my activity of mitzvah. So if you just eat the matzah, you could have said the bracha beforehand, you didn't. You're just eating. So now you do it afterwards, it's too late. You lost your chance. Okay, but a ger couldn't have done it beforehand. So I'll say he was doing a tefillah shel mitzvah. And he'll say, yeah, but so why didn't he do anything beforehand? They couldn't do it beforehand. So the way in which you qualify something which can't be done beforehand is by doing it in the first possible chance that you could. It's not that's itchi mekar. That's not dichle. That's not. It's not pushed aside. That's like a waiting qualification. And the time to qualify the thing is right afterwards. But if the time to qualify beforehand, then you didn't. So then the non-qualification indicates the contrary, and therefore it's too late. You can never recover.
What does it indicate?
It indicates that the nature of the activity was, if you don't say it, it indicates the activity was not, at least on an objective level. I mean, you can be thinking whatever it is, but objectively it was an activity of mitzvah. You weren't doing it towards mitzvah.
So isn't it just left undefined?
Yeah, it's left undefined, so but you can't do it now.
But isn't it still open for definition?
Well, I think the thing is that the generic idea of the activity is just an activity of eating or of drinking. If you want to qualify, you have to give it, you're giving it a new quality, like a super added quality of a mitzvah or whatever. So like a toast. Standard drinking isn't a toast, standard drinking is drinking. So if you drink wine, you don't say it's a toast. It's not. If you drink it without doing any toast, you don't say, well, it's hanging. Maybe it's toast, maybe it's not. That's not a toast. Toast is you're giving it a new quality, you're attaching a super added quality to the activity. They'll say by an activity of dipping in water, it's just an activity of being in water. So if you want to give it a quality of a qualify it through your speech as being mitzvah, so then you got to do it. If you don't do it, then if you could have and you didn't, then it's just an ordinary activity. Like the status quo is not nothing. The status quo is just an activity of rishas. You know, I'm not saying that it's not a mitzvah. See, this is tricky. I'm not saying that you're not yotzei the mitzvah. Because it's not a ma'aseh mitzvah. You could say, I mean, that's a different question of mitzvah's kavana or not, whether you needed that. The activity could be an activity of mitzvah anyways, but it's not, the idea of the bracha is that the bracha is qualifying it as such through your speech. There's a way, there's an idea of that a person could express something. Like I could drink the wine for the sake of their health and happiness and whatever without saying it, but there's a human activity of expressing that, of qualifying an activity, making it explicit. It is like the bracha, it's not like it defines it. It like makes that characteristic explicit through joining the bracha together to the other thing. And that's what It's not so much that that's what makes the bracha related to the activity. See, what makes the bracha related to the activity is the fact that it's qualifying the activity. It's expressing that this is the nature of the activity that I'm doing. So if you've already lost your chance, so now you can no longer, the bracha can no longer relate to the mitzvah. So now you just stop giving praise to God for the fact that He commanded us and whatever. But you can do that any day of the week. You don't do that, or you can't do that any day of the week. You're not allowed to. So there's the way in which the bracha is related to the activity is because it's qualifying it. And I'm saying that's like a human phenomenon, that people qualify their activities through speech. And there are parameters for how they do it. The way they do it is they do it before, unless they don't have the option to do it before, and then they do it after. That's just there's a sense to that. That's what. Okay, so what are we going to do next? So I guess next week let's try to do the Rosh. Okay? Try to do the Rosh. And in the Rosh, there's two shittos really, right? There's Rebbeinu Chananel and there's the Rosh. They're different. I think it's Rebbeinu Chananel, right? Rebbeinu Chananel and the Rosh. Totally different svaras. So we're going to have to take them each in turn. So, maybe, for you, maybe we'll start with the Rosh. Okay, because it's, first of all, it's much more closely related to this, to what we're doing here.
It's going
to
make it harder.
Right, I mean, Rebbeinu Chananel is like, we can do Rebbeinu Chananel, go into a whole different discussion, and then come back to the Rosh and have to get our head back into this. I think we'll probably better for us, even though in order, the order is the Rebbeinu Chananel comes first, maybe we'll try to go to the Rosh first. Okay, so...
What is the Rosh going to make it?